Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an accomplished marketing and branding guru from New York, USA, Mr. Peter Speer. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here.
Thank you. Peter is the owner of Speer, an experienced research company for brand builders. He's an ethnographer and a brand consultant. So Peter, before we start talking about branding and brand marketing, tell me about your own journey in brief.
Oh, wow. So I grew up, in brief, I grew up outside of Rochester, New York, in the suburbs. And I grew up playing soccer and loving comic books and stories. And I think my first kind of escape was always into story and TV and culture. Mm-hmm. And that really led me into this world of consumer anthropology and brand and mm-hmm. thinking about the power of myth and how this is sort of alive for us today, and really wanting to get into that world, really.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm so delighted to hear about comic books because I remember I've been a comic book fan from the time I was 7 or 8 years old. And even now when I get a chance, I pick up a comic. Yeah. But tell me, Peter, my first question to you, tell me a little bit about the concept of brand listening and its importance in understanding consumer behavior.
Yeah. So brand listening is a way that I talk about my approach to qualitative research. Mm-hmm. And I chose that way of talking about it because I wanted to talk about brand. I wanted to elevate the experience of research to the strategic level, mm-hmm. to recognize that in order to build brand, we must understand the relationship that people have right. with it. I also wanted to highlight the kind of very human act of listening and of conversation that I think is also important. You know, what happens in a conversation between people is very different. It's a different way of learning. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the last thing I would say is that I believe that brands are tools for self-creation. Mm. And that every category has a role to play in that transformation. Mm. And the goal is to understand what it is. And for that, the best tool really is getting into conversation with people and the anthropological lens of who do they want to become.
What a great response. Thank you. My next question, Peter, is how has the approach to ethnographic qualitative research evolved with the digital age?
Yeah, I mean, it's really been amazing. I was one of those people who felt like I could only learn face to face and in person. And I do 3-hour interviews in people's homes and exploring. And I was resistant to digital tools, you know, and of course, the pandemic changed all that. And I've really come to love the intimacy that's possible remotely, mm-hmm. more intimacy than I probably would have expected. And so I think what the digital age has done is allowed us to, I can talk to people from all over the world almost instantaneously. Our familiarity with digital media and phones and everything means that there's access to different parts. So you can collect a lot of artifacts and a lot of aspects of somebody's life very quickly. So I think it's deepened it in a lot of ways and it's made it a lot more efficient. I worry that we always seem to take a step away from face to face. You know what I mean? And I think we don't know what we lose when we don't invest in being in the same place with other people.
Well said. And, you know, my other question relates to culture, Peter. And, you know, you live in one of the most culturally diverse countries in the world. My question is, what role does the cultural context play in brand research? And how do you handle this?
Yeah, that's such a beautiful question. I mean, I really do appreciate it because I think sometimes there's some story, it's I read it, there's some joke or an anecdote about two goldfish. Have you heard this one? Where like two young goldfish are swimming along, and then an older fish swims by and says, "How's the water?" And the two and keeps going. And the two fish that are there look at each other and they go, "What's water?" And
Yeah, very
so I
nice.
think in a lot of ways, culture is invisible to us because we're so, we're too busy doing it. So, and I think for me, I think in the, I think brand, the responsibility of brand is really to sort of speak culture, is to be in culture. So, I think that's another reason I talk about brand listening. I think that's why it's important to go out into the world, encounter your customer in context, try to listen much more than talk. Yeah, to be out there in the world, see what happens. How does the brand live out in the world? And then how do people think about it? For me, brand listening is about two things. It's about being out in the world with the brand and understanding how people think about it and feel about it and understanding the associations around the brand. That would be my answer in terms of
Yeah,
culture.
great response. Thank you. And, given the fact that you have been working with consumers and consumer behaviors for a long time, I'd love to get your perspective on how has consumer behavior changed in the last decade, and what trends do you predict in the future?
Gosh, yeah, this I wish I think this is way above my pay grade, honestly. I feel like I have a very singular fo my mentor, he told me, he's like, until I've spoken to somebody, I kind of almost don't know what to say. So I don't have a macro view on
No
behavior.
worries. We'll move on. My
Yeah.
next question for you is that how do you approach research for brands with a global presence as compared to local brands?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience doing global work, but were I to do it when I have done it, I'm always looking for somebody with local expertise and local knowledge to to again bring the kind of familiarity and intimacy with the culture.
And Peter, how important is the role of storytelling in building a brand's identity?
I mean, I feel like storytelling is how we communicate. I mean, I really feel like it's the most powerful tool that we have. I feel like I learned this lesson really late in my own work. I used to feel like my job was to go out into the world, gather data and information, and then report that information to people, and then they would act on it. And I think as I've matured, I've learned that I'm the best communicator when I'm telling people stories about what I've learned. I don't even, you know what I mean? If I wrap that piece of information around an anecdote about the person that I met, it's somehow just, it's how we share information. And it just sneaks in, it smuggles in so much more meaning and understanding than just the reporting of information. I mean, if I could go back, I would, I mean, I would be in school for the rest of my life if I really had the opportunity to do that. But really understanding storytelling and narrative would be something that I would want to really, have in me at a
Very well
cellular
said.
level.
Very well said. And you're so right. Storytelling is now really at the heart of any communication, leave alone branding.
Yeah.
So the other question that I had, and then I want to move to a few questions relating to your own personal journey. What are some of the common misconceptions you have encountered that companies or brand managers could have about their consumers?
Yeah. I mean, I think this that all that I think we all share this difficulty in getting out of our own perspective. So it's not like anybody's conceiving anything wrong. It's just that we are busy experiencing our own point of view. So I feel like that very often the primary misconception is that everybody else is experiencing the product the way that I experience the product, or that they're coming here for the same reason. You know, I always joke that sort of I am my own blind spot. And so I feel like, yeah, just opening just that, that I have, because I understand, I have a relationship with the product or the category, then I know what everybody else also, they, everybody else also has that same experience. And I've heard this said very simply, like, I am not my customer. You know what I mean? And that would be the first big one.
Well said. So one more question and then I'll move to another set of questions. This is the world of startups, small brands becoming big. And one of the challenges a lot of small brands or startups face is when to start engaging with consumer research. I'd love to get your perspective on when should a startup start to invest in consumer research.
Yeah, I mean, I'm clearly going to be biased here. I mean, I understand that there's a, I think too often research is approached as a risk aversion tactic. It's a way of, I'm going to invest a ton of money to do something, and I want to make sure I'm not, I don't do it badly, or it's got a lot of negative consequences. So I'm going to validate. Validation is wonderful and smart and responsible. I feel like discovery research is what I would call that kind of more exploratory, foundational research. I feel like that research is an investment that could be made, you know, anytime you're starting to plan. I mean, I feel like at least that smart discovery research that gives you a foundational understanding of why people are in the category, how they perceive the competitive set, who they want to become, that kind of understanding can be evergreen. You know what I mean? It continues to provide value and inform, you know, creative innovation, all that stuff. So I would always advocate for opening up and learning as soon, you know, sooner rather than later, I guess I would say.
Well said. So moving to a different set of questions for you, Peter. You have spent a lot of time in Nepal and India. What inspired you to explore these countries, and how did this experience affect your perspectives on brand research?
Oh wow. Wow, that's amazing. Yes, I feel so fortunate to have spent as much time as I did in Nepal and in India. India, without question, changed my life, changed the way I experienced the world. I, like I said, I grew up in the suburbs. I had a very, I was a very, I was an American boy. Do you know what I mean? I play, and I was very fortunate to have very good friends from college who had studied abroad, and I followed them around. And I just feel so fortunate. So how did it do? I, connecting it back to brand research, I think it sort of it opened me up to the idea that there are a million different ways of living, and they're all sort of they're all beautiful, and my responsibility as a human being here is to try to understand what it's like for other people. And I think I was always a people person, but I had no idea how big a world I lived in.
Very interesting. And how do you see the role of travel in enhancing understanding and empathy when it comes to brand research?
Yeah, well, I mean, the topic of empathy, that thing, I mean, it is about empathy. It's that idea that, I mean, it's the same thing. It's that my experience is not the only experience, and I only become, you know, I only enrich myself when I open up to the experience that other people have. I am often asked about empathy as a researcher, and when I am asked about empathy, what I want, what I talk about is awkwardness, and that awkward is this beautiful place that we need to go, we need to spend more time in. Do you know what I mean? Because anytime I feel awkward, I want to run for the hills. You know what I mean? But awkward is where I grow. Awkward is where I learn. So travel is that opportunity of getting uncomfortable and in expansion. All the beautiful stuff happens there.
Well said. So I have time for two more questions. You also have, I mean, I was reading about you, you also have a lot of art and objects that you have collected or discovered in Asia. How do you incorporate these into your own professional life?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time in Kerala, and with friends we imported things from the Malabar coast, opened a store here in Hudson. Hudson is a small town 2 hours north of New York City in the Hudson Valley. Lots of people come here to to escape the big city, to experience the country. And we had a store for a few years, and I have to say that my relationship was always with the people. You know what I mean? And less with the objects. I think I have a few that hang around. Lots of old, like spice trays and spice boxes, and so yeah. I don't know. I don't
Okay,
the
no
objects hang
worries.
around. Yeah.
No worries. And my last question to you, Peter. What has been the most rewarding project in your career and why?
Well, I feel like, I mean, probably my so many things come to mind. I feel fortunate to have worked on a number of great projects with great people. But I guess the truest answer will be I just finished a project and I just heard from the client how pleased they were with what I delivered. And so and that one is really, the last project where I really helped a client is the it would be the most rewarding,
Absolutely.
I think.
Well said. Peter, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for speaking to me about branding, about research, also about your own journey into Nepal, India. Thank you also for talking to me and telling me about how India impacted you. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.